الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر، صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver at home, last week we had discussed with the Fadl and Karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the fact that man has come into this world not on his own will. He has not come into this world through his own will, and he does not leave this world through his own will. His coming into this dunya was not through his own will, and his leaving also, it's a fixed time Allah Ta'ala has appointed. It's not in man's control. So it's not through his own will that he leaves this world. So the time, from the time he comes into this world till he leaves, that also he cannot pass on his own will, according to his own will and desires. He has to follow the dictates of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has to follow the sharia. And we have discussed the life and in this world, dunya, compared to the life of the hereafter. The fact that Jannat is the house of the pious, of the mu'mineen. We are just a temporary guest in this dunya. Nobody can deny maut. Every person believes in maut. And we all have to leave this world. We explained there'd be two examinations, one on the day of Qiyamah, and one before that is in the Qabr, the three questions that will be asked. And those three questions and answers have already been explained to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then there's four or five questions on the day of Qiyamah, a person will be questioned. So all this is in preparation for the hereafter, and that is why Rasulullah SAW has mentioned the most intelligent person is that person who suppresses his desires and he prepares for the hereafter. We had given a nice example. Hazrat Imam Zulfiqar Sahib had mentioned this example of a person who had this huge garden or orchard, and there were three or four sections, and he told this person to go and select some fruit and put it into the basket, the best fruit that he sees in each section. But the moment he passes through one section, he cannot come back. And so the person goes in the first section, he sees beautiful fruit, is about to pluck some fruit. But then he thinks, no, probably the second section, they'll have far more better fruit. So he leaves this fruit and he goes to the second section, and definitely he sees very nice fruit. There again, there he's about to pluck some fruit. And then he thinks the third section will have better fruit. So he leaves it for the third section, and each time he can't come back. In the third section, he sees definitely there is even more nice fruit here. There's one more section left, so he sees definitely the last section will be far more better fruit. Let me leave it for then. And when he goes there, he finds everything bare. Exactly like that, the person comes in this dunya, he lives a life of youth, he becomes an adult and an old age, and finally, maut comes, and he has prepared nothing for the akhirat. So therefore, we have to prepare for the akhirat. When maut comes, we said the game is over. Person can't do any action. No amal. Everything is finished. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Then explanation is given now today, inshallah, on the punishment for neglecting zakat. And also the importance of our salat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distributes wealth to people in different portions according to His will. So this is the hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives dunya, He gives wealth to whomsoever He wishes and how much He wishes to give and when He wishes to give and how He wishes to give. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give a fixed amount to every single person in this world. No. Somebody gets more, somebody gets less. What is beyond necessity should not be hoarded but given in charity. So, we live in this world, we have necessities in life, we've got to eat, we've got to drink, we've got to provide for the family. We have to keep a little bit for our family so that they do not become beggars on the street. It comes in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When one sahabi wanted to give everything he possessed in the path of Allah, in charity, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped him. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him that you should leave little but sufficient amount for your family to live in the event that you pass away, so that they do not go out in the street begging. So the moment the father passes away, it must not happen that they've got nothing whatsoever to eat for the next couple of days. Of course, a person should not hoard wealth and invest so much that not only for his children, not his grandchildren, not great-grandchildren, I don't know how many generations down, he's still investing for them. And as I mentioned last week, the person invests so much and he makes so much of effort, day and night he's engrossed in making these type of investments. Himself, he doesn't enjoy any dunya. He leaves the world, the children come, they do the same, they pass away, the grandchildren do the same. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us life in this world, which we should make use of the ni'mats of this world. The important thing is we should not amass wealth, do not hoard wealth. What is beyond our necessity? We don't require those things. It is just piling up, we're just gathering that wealth. At least benefit the poor, the needy, and those who are genuinely in need. What is beyond necessity should not be hoarded but given in charity and righteous causes, so one may attain taqwa and qurba ilahi. Unfortunately, the more people's wealth increases, the more they dislike paying zakat on that wealth. So, as the wealth increases, the person does not want to pay zakat. Women are more often the majority in this category, in that they become absorbed in having jewelry made for them, but they are neglectful in paying zakat on the same. So they have so much of jewelry, and they do not want to pay zakat on the jewelry. It's difficult, because the love of the jewelry has come into the person's heart. And there again, there are so many people who are in need of financial assistance. They don't have any money, any cash, anything to buy the bread, milk, or to pay the rent. Yet we find that the woman has so much of jewelry. Now she does not want to dispose of the jewelry. Now because she has jewelry, which is more than the value of nisab, then it does not make her a recipient of zakat. And therefore you cannot give her zakat. So she doesn't have money to pay her rent, and water, and lights, and food, if her husband passed away, whatever it is. So you would love to help those people, but you cannot give them zakat money because she does not qualify as a recipient of zakat, simply for this reason that she has sufficient amount of jewelry that exceeds the amount of nisab that would make her eligible for zakat. Yes, the moment she disposes of that and money is used for her necessities, then she's become a recipient of zakat, then you can assist her. Of course, if you have other monies to assist lillah, there's no problem. But the point here is that people who are in need, they have jewelry, and because of the love of the jewelry they have, or there's some sentimental value, they do not want to dispose of that. That is incorrect. Instead of begging from people, you have the means, dispose of that, get the money, and then you can pay off whatever qarz you have, whatever debts you have. So women are more often the majority in this category, in that they become absorbed in having jewelry made for them, but they are neglectful in paying zakat on the same. The day of Qiyamah, this jewelry will be melted in the fire of hell and made in and burn the person. In fact, not only jewelry, any person who has amassed wealth, he has hoarded wealth, and he has not paid zakat on that wealth. Any person who has not paid his zakat, and he had the means, and he's got no excuse whatsoever. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يُحْمَى عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمُ. On the day when heat will be produced out of that wealth. فَتُقْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَظُهُورُهُمْ. And this heat will then brand their foreheads. It will brand their sides and their backs. هَذَا مَا كَنَسْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. It will be said, this is the treasure that you had buried for yourselves. فَذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْنِزُونَ. Now taste the consequences and the punishment of the treasures you buried, you hoarded. You did not pay the zakat. So snakes will be thrown onto this person, and snakes will be biting this person, and this wealth will produce into heat and fire, and the forehead and the sides and the back of the person will be burnt. May Allah Ta'ala save us. If people fail to pay zakat and jewelry they have, they need to be aware that their necklaces will become snakes around their necks and their rings will become scorpions on the day of Qiyamah that will attack them. All the jewelry for which zakat is not paid is but snakes and scorpions. So what will become of such a woman when she is attacked by these creatures on the day of Qiyamah? Righteous women make a habit of saving a little from their daily or weekly expenditures, and this eases their zakat payment at the end of the year. This is a good habit to develop, to adopt, because zakat will become easier to adhere to and is certainly a small price to pay for avoiding punishment in hellfire. It's 2.5% is nothing. So righteous women, intelligent women, they will save a little bit each week or whenever they have, or monthly, and then they will pay off their zakat when it is due. So this is the importance of zakat, and one should not neglect zakat. Then it comes to salat. Generally we find people make excuses for having musti prayers. Again, Hazrat Mawlana Zulfiqar Sahab had mentioned, women at times present nonsensical excuses for having musti prayers. Anything from having to cook for guests at the last minute to feeling ill, whether they intend to make these prayers up later or not, this is a grave laziness on their part. Yes, if a person genuine has a shari'i excuse, he's absolutely sick, he's weak and sick and he's ill, he's in hospital and he's got a genuine shari'i excuse where shari'at allows him now, in those circumstances then he'll make qada. Person is lying, he undergoes an operation. Obviously now he's not conscious, so he can't do salah at the time. But just to make feeble excuses, that I'm not feeling too well, I've got a headache, and discarding the salat, this is something very, very important. It's a very serious matter. So many times, Hazrat Mawlana Zulfiqar Sahib says that we bring some guests, and we say, last minute, now she has to rush and cook, so she'll discard her Asar salat. Or she won't read her Maghrib salat. This is incorrect. And for us also, many times we say, no, I had to go far, I had to take the family out, so then I'll make qaza of it. This is not correct. Hell is a cauldron of fire and consequently its doors also made of fire. And the person who neglects his salat, he'll be punished and thrown into Jahannam. Now all these things we have been mentioning, Jannah, Jahannam, punishment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the Hadith, and he has mentioned the consequences of a person who discards his salat, who becomes ghafil of his salat. They are sahoon, neglectful. They are not those who are qa'imun or yuqimun as-salah, those who establish salah. Salat has to be established in a person's life. Person has to read it on his appointed time. He has to read his salat with khushu and khudu, concentration, and we have discussed this many times. But a person should not just delay his salat for no reason. Like how it is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, person delays the salat, and the last couple of moments are left before sunset, then the person quickly rushes and very hurriedly he performs his salat, like a hen just pecking the seeds. The ruku is not made properly, the qawma, jalsa, there's no khushu, there's no concentration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of any of our ibadat. No matter how well we may perform it too, Allah is not in need of our ibadat. We are in need of sawab. We are in need of Allah's pleasure. Allah ta'ala takes that salat and throws it on the person's face when he has performed it very haphazardly, with no feeling, no khushu, no khudu. He reads it very hurriedly. Allah ta'ala takes it and chucks it on his face, like how a person throws a rag on somebody's face. And therefore we should take and bear these things in mind. Our salat has to be read on time. Unnecessarily we delay. And namaz is not such a thing that we should just say, if we've got some function or wherever, we go on somewhere, and there's going to be some meals, whatever it may be. So we say to ourselves, let's get farigh from namaz first. Astaghfirullah. Mashayikh say, namaz aisi cheez hai, ki aadmi usse farigh ho jaye. It's something that you just get rid of and finish off with. No. Namaz has to be read properly. Then you indulge in whatever other occasion you have in your meals, etc. It is a time when you are connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, if the condition is so serious that you haven't eaten for a couple of days and you had stones tied to your belly and you are falling unconscious, at that time then the fuqaha, ulama will say, but you eat first and then you engage in salat. Here we eat the entire day, breakfast, lunch, supper, in between. And then we can't say, no, we're very hungry and the braai will get cold. No. The salat comes first. Rasulullah had mentioned in the hadith, that person who misses one salat. In some narrations, the salatul asr has been mentioned, specifically. Because generally people neglect the salat, salatul asr. In the Quran is mentioned, hafizu ala salawati wa salatil wusta. Preserve all your salat, especially the middle salat. Most mufassirin say that is reference to salatul asr. Businessmen, people at work, they are now closing up factories, shop, they all are returning home. So they say, we'll go home and we'll read. By the time they reach home, sometime is already Maghrib. Women are busy preparing supper, etc. Oh, they're doing this madrasa rounds and picking up their children. So generally that salat is neglected. And therefore, in another hadith, Rasulullah says, Man salla al-bardain dakhala al-jannah. Whoever reads the two cold namaz, of course all namaz we have to read, but specifically the two cold namazes, he will get Jannah. Ulama said the two cold namazes, one is Fajr and the other one is Asr. In the Arab countries, at Asr time you see a very cool breeze setting in, especially in the winter months. So we should not neglect our Asr Salat or any Salat for that matter. So in one riwayat it is mentioned, Man fatatu Salatul Asri. In other riwayats, got man fatatu salatu. A person who discards a single salat. It is as though he has lost his entire wealth, belongings, his family, everything. One namaz you miss, it should be like how you missed, how you lost your entire family. Allah Ta'ala save us if a person hears his entire family wiped out, all his belongings, everything is destroyed. He's left penniless, he's got no family, he's got no wife, he's got no children, no parents. How does he feel? Like the world has come to an end. Like that the person should feel, or even more worse, when he discards one salat. And therefore, in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, whoever leaves out salat on purpose, intentionally, is surely an unbeliever. The difference between a mu'min and a kafir is a salat. Of course, ulama have explained that missing prayers is so grave that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that an individual can only be a disbeliever. A Muslim who misses prayers no doubt remains within the boundaries of Islam because he recites the kalima. But such a statement by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reflects how intensely Allah Ta'ala dislikes this. Allah Ta'ala dislikes this and how intensely Allah Ta'ala dislikes a person discarding his salat. Many times we complain that our lives have got no barakat. There's no mercy, no happiness, there's no enjoyment. And if we analyze and introspect ourselves, our lives, then we find because we are not reading salat punctually. So when we don't examine our lives correctly and our actions and we don't check properly, then what is it? Which ibadat am I discarding? What am I not doing correctly and properly? Wives will complain, husbands and children are not listening to them, husbands abusing the wife, children have become rebellious. So the root cause of this, Hazrat Mawlana says, is that we have neglected salat. Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullahi Ali, in one of his malfuzat, he had mentioned that when we have kalima and salat in our lives, then sari deen par aadmi qabu rakhta hai phir. Then a person has complete control over all the other aspects of deen. If your kalima, your iman is correct, iman is strong, and you are punctual on your salat, then automatically the remaining injunctions of shariat will fall in place very easily. It will come into your life very easily. But if you are ghafil and negligent of salat, then very difficult for other things to come right. Your dhikr won't come right. Your tilawat won't come right. You won't be engaging in du'as. You won't get barakat in your life. You'll have endless problems. You won't find solutions to your problems. Your life will be full of misery, full of pareshani. You suffer depression. Salat, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, Sahaba, any problem they used to have, they should beg from Allah through their salat. Person is having a rosy problem, risk, financial problem, then turn to Allah, recite 2 rakat salat. One sahabi, he comes home, he asks the wife, anything we have to eat? She says, nothing. Nothing. He says, okay, I'm coming now. He goes outside. She has absolutely nothing at home. No, this is the yaqeen sahaba had. He says, Allahu Akbar, he's reading 2 rakat salatul hajat, begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the meantime, she goes to the little oven they had, and she actually finds that the roti is coming out, and food is being cooked. He finishes 2 rakat salat. He has such certitude, such yaqeen in the promise of Allah, and in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you read salat, Allah ta'ala will provide for you. It's so much of yaqeen, that when he came, he asked her, have you got anything? She says, yes, there's food. She also had yaqeen, that she believed Allah will provide for us, Allah won't keep us starving. So she went to the oven, although she knew she had nothing kept there. And his 2 rakat salat was of that level, where he actually begged from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala provided for him instantly. Our namaz, our certitude, our conviction, Allah has become very weak. So when we read salat, it's just to mark the register that we were there present for salat. Quran Sharif talks about yuqimuna salah, establishing salat. There is only one place where the word yusalluna, or the word sallah yusalli is mentioned, which means to read salat. Everywhere else regarding salat, establish salat. And that particular instance is a whole masla about in time of war, when the Muslim army has to perform behind one imam, it's called Salatul Khawf. Then in that case, the word salat has been mentioned, sallah yusalli. There's an academic discussion on that. And de'it yuqimun as-salah has not been mentioned. But throughout the Quran, right from the beginning, first page of Surah Baqarah, Allah Ta'ala talks about yuqimun as-salah. So we have to establish salah in our life and establish salah in our homes. How? Our women folk and the nabaligh children should be performing the salat. The male baligh should come to the masjid unless a person has a valid excuse. And when our homes don't have salat, then guarantee there's no barakat. There'll only be problems. Husband and wife problems, children will be rebellious. We'll only have a miserable life. There'll be problems upon problems upon problems. So get salat right and perfect our salah. Our faraid, wajibat, sunan of salat should be correct. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq and hidayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. That verily salat restrains a person from shameful and unjust deeds or evil deeds. Munkar, evil deeds. Fahsha, immorality, immodesty. So person will put a question. He's reading salat, or people perform salat, they are regular in their salat, yet we find them indulging in sins. How is it possible? So the same question was posed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Somebody came and he said that I am performing salat, but still I find myself engaging in fahsha or munkar. Or he mentioned about some other person, that this man is still doing evil, yet he is reading salat. And Quran says, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. The salat actually prevents a person from evil. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that let him continue performing his salat. The good effects of this will be a day will come where it will stop him from fahsha and munkar. It will slowly lead him into leaving out that indecent acts all those evil actions that he is indulging in. Of course, the salat has to be read with concentration, devotion, dedication, properly. Not a slapdash salat as we read, then you're not going to get this effect. That salat which is set on time properly and begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the effect must set in. If not immediately, because of other weaknesses, but gradually you'll find that the salat has that effect that Allah has placed in it, that it will stop the person from haram. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq, may Allah ta'ala make all our salat of that level inshallah. So despite our tremendous duties that we have, and women folk at home, and men have, and we have no excuse to become lazy and discard our salat, or delay our salat. Those who have iman, who are sane, who are baligh, then namaz is fard upon them. What about namaz that we miss in our life? Many of us got hidayat late in life, or we change our lives late in life, and so many years after becoming baligh, we did not read those salat. They were discarded, they were missed. So we have to make qada of those salat. And we mentioned previously, the simple procedure is that for every salat that we read, make one qaza at that time for one that we miss. We say, the first fajr I missed, Ya Allah, I'm making qaza of that. Then the next one that I missed, and the next one, and the next one. So each day as you read, you will be covering up for all those salat that we had missed. A person should genuinely sit down and ponder and reflect and work out approximately how many years of salat, or how many months, or how many weeks, or how many days of salat he had missed. And there again it's important, we have children at home who may be coming baligh soon, they're reaching the age of puberty. So encourage them not to miss the salat, encourage them to read the salat now. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that when your child is 7 years old now, start teaching him and taking him to the masjid to read salat. And when he's 10 years old and he's not reading his salat, then you lightly give him a few strokes, lightly of course, don't abuse the child, that's haram. But you should warn him about discarding salat. When he's just 10 years old. Why? So just before baligh, already he is trained. So that when he becomes baligh, he doesn't miss any salat. See, if we had made mistakes in our lives, why do we allow our children to make the same mistakes? Encourage them to read the salat, so that they don't have qaza-i umri to make in their lives. Otherwise the qaza-i umri becomes so many years of qaza, that a person starts and then feels it's very difficult, the person discards the qaza, loses hope, and the person is crying, thinking, how am I going to fulfill this qaza in my life? Therefore, make a start. If we haven't made a start as yet, make a start today, inshallah. And we have to be firm on it. We have to be steadfast and firm. Inshallah, after a few months, after a few years, you'll find that all those qaza we have made, a person will feel so light after that. A huge burden, a mountain will be gone. So it is the responsibility of every Muslim to make up his or her missed prayers. If a few years of prayers have been missed, one should try and make a reasonable calculation and then make up that salat. An ideal way to do this is to make up prayers, is to substitute in nafil prayers for a missed obligatory prayer. So if one person does not have sufficient time, and he's got just a little bit of time, then read your qaza-i umri. But you have plenty of time, you can read your ishraq also, and you can read your qaza salat of what you missed. Generally we just want to look for excuses even to discard nafil. Many people ask, and of course ulama will say, and listen very attentively, that if you have qaza-i umri, then give that preference first over nafil. But if a person is going for umrah, for example, you've got so much of time, so you're not going to make qaza-i umri the whole day. You make your qaza-i umri also of some salat as much as possible. Then you also can read your tahajjud namaz in his time. You can read your ishraq in his time. So just two rakat ishraq namaz. And the balance you read your qaza-i umri. In that way you're getting both, inshallah. But if a person is pressed for time, you only got 10 minutes and you ask, what must I read, nafil or qaza-i umri? Then you also read your qaza-i umri, because that was compulsory.
That you have to pay back.
Nafili is optional.
Here again there is a grave punishment in the grave for a person missing his salat. A python will be let loose in the grave of one who used to neglect his or her prayers. This python will sting continuously with such a vicious bite and intense venom that bones will crack and break over and over. The grave will be dark and cramped. The buried person will be alone with no one to hear his or her agonizing cries. Muslims everywhere need to reflect on such severe consequences whenever they even think about delaying a prayer or missing it entirely. Allah Ta'ala will assign an angel to the grave of one who missed his or her prayers, one with long fangs and nails whose mere appearance will invoke terror, black in complexion. The angel will have long hair and he will then extend his hand towards the grave inhabitant's face and the person will scream in terror. Allah Ta'ala save us. This person would calmly miss his or her prayers without even a second thought in the dunya, but would be frightened very easily by the sound of a creaking door. Now when such a person is locked in a dark grave with such a horrific creature as this angel, this would indeed be terrifying. There will be no one to listen to this person's screams or see his or her tears. The angel will be devoid of anything that can be termed mercy and will come closer to his victim and show his long fangs. And he'll have a hammer in his hand with which he will strike his victim so that the latter is pushed 70 lengths into the earth. The person will then return and the angel will strike again, sending his victim back into the earth 70 lengths. If Fajr was missed, this angel will keep striking this person thus from Fajr to Zuhr. And if Zuhr was missed, then he will strike thus continuously from Zuhr to Asr. This process will continue likewise until the day of Qiyamah. People may doubt, mock and even dismiss these as tales to scare children. But Rasulullah's words are true and those who disbelieve will see with their own horrified eyes after their mort. Allah Ta'ala has transmitted these warnings to us through the noble Mubarak lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all of us should pray that these realities enter our hearts and we understand the reality of the azab of a person who discards his salat. May Allah do not make us amongst those who are neglectful and negligent regarding this salat. There are so many benefits of salat, so many benefits. Just one or two. When a person recites reads his five times salat, then it purifies him from all sins. All his minor sins are forgiven. Of course, for major sins we have mentioned so many times now, a person has to make sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the minor signs that have accumulated and piled up, when a person recites his or makes his five times salat, then all those minor sins are washed off. Just like in the hadith it mentioned a person who has a river outside his home and every day he bathes in it five times. Flowing river. And he goes in and he washes himself. هَلْ يَبْقَى مِنْ دَرَنِهِ شَيْءٍ Rasulullah asks, will any dirt be left on his body? No. No impurity. He'll be absolutely clean. Exactly like that is the condition of the one who reads his five times salat every day. He becomes free from all these minor sins. And then it brings peace, serenity to the soul. It allows a person to break from all the worries of this worldly life when he focuses on his Allah in Salat. If we read the Salat like how Sahaba read, how Rasulullah read, then all those worries of the dunya, immediately it will disappear. So it is a cause for joy. Establishing a regular habit and pattern in offering one's prayers is indeed cause for happiness and joy. Serenity, you get sakina, tranquility, through which Allah Ta'ala will bless one's home and increase one's means of rosy also. Person who reads his salat five times salat daily, Allah makes his daily bread easy for him. Allah will make your rosy asan for you. Those who are lazy and find prayer difficult should pray to Allah Ta'ala to make this easier for them. Make dua, ya Allah, I'm finding it difficult. Especially men folk should be here in the masjid. So if you're not ready, if you're not performing our salat with jamaat, and then we've got some financial problem, or some domestic problem, social problem, then reflect. And you will see, because I'm not reading my salat with jamaat, or I'm not reading my salat correctly, I'm discarding it, this is the result of it. The person who establishes a routine of prayer and worship will be protected against disgrace in this world. Muslims should not concentrate and be proud of their wealth or lineage, because Allah Ta'ala can lay waste to all in the blink of an eye if the stubborn and disobedient incur His wrath. A person's day can actually turn into the darkest night if in an instant if Allah Ta'ala becomes angry. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. If Allah becomes angry with us, your day can turn into a night. It has happened so many cases, so many places. So many nations were destroyed when Allah's azab came. وَمَنْ يُهِنِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُكْرِمٍ. Whomsoever Allah disgraces, then nobody can honor him then. So the day becomes into a night. Muslims have to be diligent in paying attention to their salat, so that they can get nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Misfortune can befall so suddenly, if Allah ta'ala becomes angry, that it will stun the believer. The soul will be robbed of all peace and happiness, and the individual will be left in constant despair. Today Allah ta'ala has given the Muslim good health and beauty that they need to be thankful for, and the best way to show shukr and gratitude is through the ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's pleasure is everything. Because if He casts a glance of mercy anywhere, then springtime shines anew. And consequently, if He withdraws His mercy, harsh winter growls. So we have precious time. We make sincere tawbah, istighfar and change. This is the purpose of these talks that we have for the speaker himself first and for the listeners, so that we make islah of our a'mal, islah of our lives. We refresh and kindle our iman, and we change our direction and we move towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How often we tell a person about salat, what does he say? You mind your own business. Astaghfirullah. You don't worry about me. I'll pay for my own sins. Now these are very dangerous statements to make. Very dangerous. Therefore also when you're warning some person, do it with hikmat. Here we're talking because, mashallah, we have come for salat. Allah accept it. Therefore we're giving all this azab. You don't go to a person, by Allah will punish you with pythons and you make him. No. You do it with love, affection. Hey, but join me for salat, please. Can you fetch me? Can you pick me up? I've got a problem with my car or something. Can you pick me up for salat? The moment he comes into the mahal of a masjid, automatically he'll feel like coming regularly. If he attends some dini program, then immediately he will reflect. But we don't have that himmat ourselves to even encourage our baligh sons at home or other males. Everybody is sitting in the lounge, we had supper, whatever it is. It's time for salat. One or two people will get up. All the others are just sitting, watching the television, busy talking. We'll talk all about current affairs of the dunya, of the world, and how the Muslims are suffering throughout the world. We will talk this. This will be the topic of discussion. But salat, one or two people get himmat. The grandfather will go, or the elderly person will go, the uncle will go. All those youngsters are all sitting there. Sometimes they're glued to a cricket match, or to a soccer match. Azan is called. The elderly father or grandfather goes for salat, comes back, and they are busy still eating and enjoying themselves. So this is our condition today. Rasulullah SAW actually said in one hadith that I wish that I appoint somebody for salat and he leads the sahaba whilst I go with a few other sahaba and we go and check all those homes where there are males, baligh males, and who have got no excuse whatsoever. And they are not in the masjid. And they are staying at home. And perhaps they are reading namaz at home even. But they haven't come to the masjid. I wish to burn their houses. Had it not been for the women and children, I would have done that. So important is to read salat with jamaat. Yes, sometimes a person has got some genuine excuse that is understandable. Or sometimes you might not see the person in this masjid is regular. He may read in a nearby masjid. So that we shouldn't have any wrong feelings or thoughts, that's also a weakness. But here the point is that we should encourage all our male baligh male relatives, our children, our nephews, our cousins, our uncles, that by it is salat time, everything else closes now, and we all go to the masjid. Inshallah, if we do so, there are many brothers, mashallah, Fajr time, they will pick up others and come to the masjid. So you have the same system, inshallah, our masjid will become abad. How shameful it is that we have beautiful masjids, yet our salat, our daily 5 times salat, our masjid are not full. Do we get Jummah crowd in the masjid? Is there any masjid in the whole town or in our country, I may be wrong, that for Fajr salat we have Jummah crowd? Is there any masjid? We Fajr, unless the masjid is only one saf. If it's a very small masjid, yeah, maybe. If you have a big masjid like this, is there any masjid like this that for Fajr salat we get a Jummah crowd? That we have to make announcement, brothers, can't find place, there's some place for you, made downstairs or outside in the parking, no? What a shame it is. So many ulama we have, mashallah, in our country. So much of mashayikh, so many mashayikh have come and go. Mashallah, the jamaats are working day and night. We have to now awaken from this slumber. It is something serious. Until we don't get this Buniya al-Islamu ala khamsin, shahadati an la ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, wa iqamis salah. After iman, the very first thing that has been mentioned as the pillars of Islam is establishing salat. Then a woman folk at home should read the salat. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat in the month of Ramadan. We speak on these things. These are our own weaknesses. Allah forgive us. Allah make us true leaders. Allah give us khushu in salat. Allah make us some khashi'in. Allah give us ikhlas. Allah protect us from riya, ostentation, show. May Allah give us taqwa, piety. The month of Ramadan, what a beautiful atmosphere it is. On the 27th of Ramadan, there is no place in any masjid. And comes the night of Eid, the day of Eid, and that night already we find the crowd being less. And the very next day, Fajr. All those stuffs that were full, all disappear. How are we going to face Rasulullah SAW on the day of Qiyamah? As far as Huququllah is concerned, as far as Huququllah is concerned, the rights of Allah, the very first question on the day of Qiyamah, a person will have to answer is regarding his salat. That's the first question. So let us now take this thing seriously and pass it on to others. Again, the maqsad of a majlis is not to quote some beautiful malfuzat of our pious and we make wahwa and it's all over. It is for ourselves to reflect. And Allah, I want to become a proper 5-time namazi. I don't want to discard one salah. Ya Allah, you make it be possible for me to be present in the masjid and to read all my 5-time salah. And encourage the woman folk. And how do you encourage them? Start talim at home. All our elders and mashayikh, especially in Nizamuddin, have mentioned that for all problems. Now this is something we don't understand because we haven't tried it. So we won't understand the benefits of it. When we start talim at home, as the Shaykh Rahmatullah has written Fazail Amal, excellent, the stories of Sahaba there, there's Fazail of Salat there, Fazail of Ramadan there. So read this, this Fazail of Dhikr there, for just 5-10 minutes. Like how we gather for every other purpose, 5 minutes, are we going to lose anything? And do it diligently. Allah give me tawfiq also. It is mentioned that Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullahi Alayh in Nizamuddin, they used to have ta'alim in the markaz, and the women folk who are staying in the complex, they hear all the bayans, they hear the ta'alim, they hear the hayatul sahaba, etc. But after that, either Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah or Maulana Imam Hassan, whoever it was, immediately after that, when they go home, now ta'alim takes place. Somebody asked, but the ladies heard it. He said, no. That's masjid ta'alim. Ghar ki ta'alim, its own barakat it has. If you look at our homes, what do we have in our homes? There's only filth now. It's TV and all this social media which brings about only filth in our homes. So how are we going to get that barakat? That barakat our forefathers enjoyed in the simple homes, where Yasin Sharif was read and Talim was taking place, and one could feel the Anwarat in those homes, simple homes. Today we have luxurious homes, but there's no chain, there's no sukoon, there's no happiness. Because there's no Talim at home. So if you start our Talim, inshallah, you will find the children also, they will want to change their lives. The wife also become obedient. Husband will become a namazi also. So this is such a simple solution to start Talim at home. We find the right time, whether it is morning or evening, but everybody should be there, and each person should have a turn. Once today this person reads, the next day another person reads, so everybody gets a chance to read, inshallah. Then we will find that the love of these a'mal will come into our lives. When we read fazail, when you read virtues and blessings of a'mal, then the love will come, shauq, yearning is created in our heart to do those a'mal. So until we don't read about the virtues, then you won't understand and you won't want to feel like doing it. If I give a nice hadith now, regarding any amal, and I give you the blessings of it, that you get so much of sawab, everybody will get interested. So much of sawab. So let me go and, he has a shock now, and the yearning to bring this into his life. So until you don't see the great rewards that Allah Ta'ala has got for you, then the shock won't come. So read these virtues. Plenty of virtues have been mentioned. Inshallah, we will get the tawfiq and hidayat then to bring into our lives, and we will come for salah not alone with our other baligh family members who are males, of course, and we pass it on to our friends. We send tweets and messages and various things. MashaAllah, some big malfuzat will come, and very nice stories, inspiring stories. Some are from Lal Kitab also. Very inspiring stories. Good morals. What's the, if we send a good message, let us establish our 5 times salah in our masjid. That is be more beneficial to send those reminders than sending other big bayans that we have. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq and hidayat to make sure we don't discard our salat. Become neglectful regarding our salat. Allah Ta'ala make us amongst those who establish salat and who have ikhlas in the salat, and whose salat is not rejected but accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.